The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. Surprising, it seems to have wrapped up, and sooner than I thought it was. I thought it was going to take a couple of days at least, but it did come to a conclusion, obviously last night, and then was finalized overnight, and it had the feeling of a very well-done script, a Hollywood script, the greatest comeback in American presidential history. He has been through a lot, let's face it. And I must give him credit. He's not a spring chicken, and he held up through a very, very grueling campaign schedule for months. He is a trooper. So we didn't get the communists. Thank God for that. But there are some issues, and just very briefly, I think in watching this, how long has she been in the campaign? It wasn't very long, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. Since they got rid of Biden. He's never been happy. William, how many weeks was she in the campaign?
I think it's less than 90 days. It was something unheard of, like, short. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was not plausible that
no,
a woman
it was, yeah.
in the
you
campaign
set up my
less
comment.
Than 90 days
no,
was
perfect.
Going
let
to...
Let me finish. Yeah, let me finish, because you set me up. Thank you. I think, and I felt this all along, that the MSM... mainstream media, the corporate giant Zionist media, was overselling the camel. I think the polls, a lot of them were rigged to make it look like, gee, she's ahead of Trump. Why, she really must be something. I think it was a psyop to a large degree. I don't think she knew it. I think she played seriously and tried to run the best that her pea brain would allow her to run. But when yesterday rolled out in the morning, the results, and it was a low turnout, and she was behind right away. Trump was leading from the beginning. That said that the communists were not rabid enough to get out early and hit the polls. And I thought that was kind of a tell as well. And then the real interesting part of it for me was I watched CNN, and I must say they did a fairly good job of covering a very complicated situation. They would show the swing states. Trump won all six swing states, I believe. And each state has one or two key counties, like Allegheny County, I think, is one of them. William knows more about this than I do. But these key counties are where the state capital would be or the biggest cities would be. And in 2020, Biden won those key counties in swing states. At least that's what the totals say. We know the real truth. By a margin of 2 or 3 to 1 over Trump in most of those states. Now, when I was watching last night, the camel in those key counties was ahead 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 over Trump. But what about the rest of the state? It didn't work that way. So you could almost make an argument that it was a rigged election, but the the rig failed. In other words, she took these key counties, but the rest of the state overwhelmingly pushed for Trump. People were sick of this crap, and I think that's at the bottom line of much of it. They're just tired of this whole tranny garbage LGBTQ crap, funding wars. Let's see what he does about Ukraine. But remember, he's not going to be in office for 2.5 months. So, you know, we got a little ways to go here, to put it mildly. William Gein is back tonight. Thank you, William. How did it go for you?
Well, we'd be a sad lot if it didn't go well, wouldn't we? Happy days are here again. The stock market is obviously happy. I think the Dow jumped like 1,500 today. I think what you had is people who pay attention to these issues and know what's actually going on in the country, the Americans versus the people who are caught up in the synthetic lying gestalt of the Democrat rhino machine, the globalist machinery, which a lot of younger people, lots and lots of younger people who are more less experienced and more influenceable by this stuff. And if, you know, I was talking to you with your producer there, you know, we're watching the meltdowns on TikTok and Twitter of all these people just losing their minds that Trump won. But there's actually, there's the swing states, Jeff, there's actually, there's seven of them, and it looks like Trump has won all seven swing states.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, we talked about this on last week's show, the Rasmussen reports, the more accurate pollsters were calling that. Well, you had certain polls that was being Ameris poll and others that were being promoted by MSNBC, CNN, that were claiming Kamala was competitive, Kamala was ahead. Rasmussen was saying, No, she's never really been in the lead, not for the last 2 weeks. No, you know, it's within the margin of error, but Trump is up plus one, two, three here in these swing states. And that's how things ended up playing out. Now, another big factor was 20 million votes from 2020 did not manifest. And a lot of that was cheated votes, mail-in votes, pandemic phantom voters. And the other part of it was people who were voting with their feet by not showing up. Black males, Hispanics, and Hispanic males, they weren't feeling the Kamala. And a lot of them did not show up and turn out for the Harris-Biden-Democrat machine. The Harris-Biden-Democrat machine was pumping, had insane amounts of money, because, you know, when you work for the billionaires and the Soros people, you've got all the money you need, the printers of money, the Goldman Sachs, and they were pumping out money to mostly black male DJs, to DJ at the polls, DJ at the polls. And these were nice guys. I know one of them from college, and there was another gentleman at the precinct I worked at near Raleigh that came out and played some music in the morning. It wasn't like any FCC violations or anything like that. It was mostly like Billy Joel. It sounded like the music you'd hear at a Trump rally. And then played for 3 hours, packed up, went to the next poll. This was a hope of the Harris campaign that was going to turn. They knew they had a problem with black males, especially younger black males. And I haven't seen the numbers, but in the middle of the day, Elon Musk tweeted that the cavalry had arrived and that males were voting in large numbers. Now, and I saw a great deal of this. Granted, the precinct that I worked at throughout the day, I was working at a precinct talking to people throughout the day, including angering liberal campaigners. They did not like me, and I enjoyed that. I realized that in my electronic prison of online censorship, I don't get to argue with real liberals as much as I would like to. And I saw a lot I really enjoy, countering these people. One of the first tiffs I got into with this liberal at the poll, he's like, well, you know, we really need to do something about online misinformation. I said, or social media, we need to do something about misinformation on social media. And I looked at that guy and I said, listen, yeah, we got a problem with misinformation, and it's called the federal government and MSNBC and CNN. Don't tell me that somebody's grandma on Twitter is the problem with misinformation in this country. The problem with misinformation is the CDC, the FBI, the DOJ, and the White House itself, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times. That's where our misinformation lying problem is at. And later he came over and he's like, hey, you know, hey, buddy, you and me, we can just get along and work outside this precinct today. We can just agree to disagree. And I was like, well, hey there, listen, don't give me that gobbledygook, because what's really going on here is I'm right and you're wrong, and maybe one day you'll figure that out. Because that's the situation. I am right. I am right about these things. The people that agree with me on these things, we are correct. And these liberals are lying and lying to themselves and other people, and they're wrapped up in the immersed in the machine's lies that animate them. The thing that was scariest about yesterday to me was that Kamala Harris was competitive in any sense of the word. It was terrifying to me that there are enough people in this country that would ever consider pushing a button for that witch.
It's true.
And yet there they were.
That's very true. I agree.
Now, I think that a lot of the cheating may have been headed off on this thing. You know, we talked about it on, I think, the last episode or two of the different program. People who listen to the podcast or the archives might want to go back and dig into it. But one of the strategic things that I was hoping for was that the elites responsible for this mess, who had millions of non-citizens, they could have easily, well, it may have been more difficult for them to cheat with the non-citizens because of the resistance to Kamala in the black and Hispanic communities. You look at Kamala's crowds, it's black females, young black females, government worker females. But the people in the black community and the Hispanic community that were leaning Trump or leaning away from the Democrats, it would have made it harder to field that. There's a chance that the elites may have been unable to cheat on the level they wanted to. They may have had to back off.
I suggested that in my opening little commentary. It's a possibility because she did win many of those key counties, 2 or 3 to 1 over Trump. I don't know what the final count was, so I shouldn't go too far with that. But it did play out like that for Biden when the big fix, the obscenity, happened in 2020. So that much was kind of a repeat. But I'm not saying she did win all of those key counties. It just seems to me she was oversold. And she was just hot air. There was nothing there. No substance.
Well, Trump won counties like Anson County,
yes,
North Carolina,
yes,
which is a large black population that no Republican has won since the 1800s. Same situation down on a border. I can't remember the name of the county, but there's a predominantly Hispanic county on a border county that no Republican has carried since the 1800s. Donald Trump carried it. And in these places that we're talking about, because we talked about the 8 cities that Alipac predicted that non-citizen voters would be most likely deployed, one of those cities was Charlotte, North Carolina. And towards the end of the discussions, you can see Democrat conversations and even newscasts of how they were putting most of their eggs into the Mecklenburg County, Charlotte basket, because they're like, you know, if this, Democrats always win by large margins in Mecklenburg County, and if we can elevate that by only 4% points, which is what we're going to do, we can take control of the whole state, and the Kamala Harris campaign will be looking out and saying, look at that, how did Kamala win North Carolina? Well, Mecklenburg County increased its turnout of Democrat votes by 4%, da-da-da-da. Well, they had people that had problems within their base of people not wanting to support this campaign, work for this campaign, people who are disappointed with the lies. The call your opponent's Nazi garbage thing, which is a George Soros trick 101 that the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing for years, blew up in their faces and backfired.
That was nice to see. I concur.
Yes, that was beautiful. That was like, play the Nazi card. Play the garbage card. Boom! Ow!
Yeah.
Ow, 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 that didn't work. What do we do now? We're out of cards. Loved it. But here's the other thing. Okay, first of all, I don't know her personally, but Laura Trump, as co-chair of the RNC, was absolutely badass. I mean, she is a political butt kicker. I am a connoisseur of campaigns and a Republican and Democratic Party operations. And in the past, I haven't had a lot of kind things to say about the RNC. Not this year. The RNC was on it, Jeff. They were on it, on it, on it, on it. Anything smelled bad, looked bad, they had a fleet of attorneys coming in, lawsuits flying in a heartbeat.
Interesting.
On Election Day, I don't know the true numbers, but Laura Trump and the RNC, well, they rolled out a website that we helped share with people called protectthevote.com. Where people could report suspected election fraud to them quickly. And they rolled out an army of poll observers and attorneys ready to sue people's pants off in a heartbeat. And in some cases, they did that. There was some sketchiness. And folks, please forgive me if I'm a little hazy on the details, because I'm very, very, very happy, but I'm also very, very exhausted. And we've all been, all of us that have engaged in this struggle have been through a lot, and had a lot to still a lot to process. But I think there was some voting counting insecurity in Milwaukee, and Laura Trump's attorneys were all over it in a heartbeat. There was election machines.
That's very smart. I'm glad. I didn't know. I'm glad to hear that they really did take it seriously, and they actually affected their legal arm, which is, that's what people listen to. You send an attorney, all of a sudden things get serious.
Well, in Pennsylvania, which was the must-have keystone state of the blue wall and the seven swing states, there were significant electronic or mechanical issues with the voting machines in these red counties. And I believe, and folks, again, forgive me if I'm wrong here, RNC attorneys immediately sued to have the voting times on those precincts extended to 10 o'clock so that those people...
Well, that's what it
and
takes.
And
you think she was overseeing... She was really the driver of this engine. She was there.
That's the thing, okay, if you look at Kamala's campaign, she had the machine, and her number one surrogate was Barack Obama. Biden couldn't be her surrogate, because Biden going out there is more likely to hurt her than help her, but they finally, when her campaign was failing, they brought in their number one surrogate, Barack Obama, the big guy, and here I come. I've been running things behind the scenes for years anyway. Here I'm in the front. I'm coming to save it. Trump had, not just his running mate, J.D. Vance, who did an outstanding job. J.D. Vance was energetic. He was thoughtful. He was coherent. The crowds were chanting J.D., J.D. Right. A lot of people who were like, I don't know about J.D. Vance, are like, we love J.D. Vance. Joe Rogan said it very, very well when he endorsed Trump and said that it was almost worth endorsing Donald Trump just to see J.D. Vance run for president. Said that J.D. Vance was one of the most interesting, strange, and intelligent people that he's ever interviewed. And
well, I've been saying that for a while now, that his speaking skills have really honed up in the last couple months. He got very sharp, very aggressive, very fair in what he was saying. He wasn't in the gutter throwing dirt.
Well, he's also picking up new information. I mean, Joe Rogan schooled J.D. Vance near the end of their interview about how many of these mass shooters that we're aware of were on SSRI drugs. Uh-huh. And J.D. Vance is
virtually all of them. Yeah, he didn't know.
J.D. Vance, like, I hadn't heard that. That's very interesting. The wires are getting connected. But look at the excellent surrogates that Trump had going on besides him and J.D. Vance. He had both the two of his sons out there campaigning on their own events. He had Robert Kennedy Jr. He had Tulsi Gabbard. He had Charlie Kirk and Vivek Ramaswamy were out there. The Trump campaign had a lot of very competent surrogates that, on top of his schedule, which was just insane. I mean, I think Trump did a major event 40 or 50 something days in a row.
I mentioned he was very impressive. Go ahead.
And the last couple of days, especially for a 78-year-old, the last couple of days he did, I think, three events, like on election eve
per day.
Yeah, I went to see him again in Kinston, North Carolina. I've seen Trump before. It was interesting because he flew in Trump Force 47 and did a flyby of the crowd while the theme, the Top Gun, the Jan Hammer guitar theme from the Top Gun movies was playing. And then he circled back and got out and did his thing.
On his big Boeing that he's got?
Yes, Trump Force 47. Yeah, and while the jumbotrons are going, and it was really, it was quite a spectacle.
Well,
and he's quite the showman.
That's showbiz. I'd say. Well, that came from his WWE background. He intuitively knows how to rile up the crowd. He's a smart man.
Well, and
that's
Twitter, a lot of things that we've discussed with your audience really panned out when Musk bought X or Twitter and turned it into X, which I call Twitter X. Yeah. So it was a game changer. I was like, Trump just, I mean, Musk just pulled down the fourth wall of the electronic.
That was a big player, for sure.
Twitter was doing its thing. So much so that, like, when the final hoax cards were played against Trump, like, Trump said somebody should point guns and kill Liz Cheney. You know,
they tried
Twitter everything. Twitter was so outside of that bubble going, here's the clip. Everybody, listen for yourself. That's not what he said at all. The last several desperate, insane-level deception tricks that would have worked in the past. You know, if Twitter had not been there as a countermeasure, it was still in the bag with Facebook and Google and MSNBC and CNN and CBS when they said that Trump advocated that Liz Cheney be shot by 9 guns or whatever. You know, when of what he did say was she was such a war hawk that maybe wouldn't advocate for war if somebody put a gun in her hand and stuck her on the front lines into the combat zones, which is a valid point that everyone understands what he's saying.
Yeah.
But if Twitter had not been available to us, we could have all been trapped in that bubble if you'd run onto Facebook or Twitter or Google anywhere and said, hey, everybody, that's not what Trump said. He really said, nobody would hear it because they would have S-canned you and your voice would have been silenced. You've been gone and you're banned and whatever.
Well,
but even Facebook had to behave more because Facebook couldn't be as tyrannical with people as they used to be because there's a freedom competitor over on X. So Elon Musk, his petition. Now, the only thing about his petition, I got to mention, because we talked about it with you, and everybody was very gracious about signing it. I haven't gotten my check from Elon yet. I hope I get one by Christmas. Some friends of mine who engaged in the petition have received their $47 checks for recommending people. The money's not that important to me. I was a little bit disappointed because I've been getting some texts from some people. I don't know. It could be Elon's apparatus. It's been messaging me. I had expected some email, text, and maybe even calls from that petition. And there's a chance that, like I said, some of the messages I'm getting are from that petition. But the communication from the petition data gathering that Elon did not manifest, at least as far as I can see, as much as I thought it would. But Elon Musk, he put it on the line, and Joe Rogan's endorsement was probably responsible for a lot of the men that showed up. Because, you know, if you look at the male participation in college, high school, voting, everything, it's down, 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 down. Women's participation is up, up, up. Men's participation is down, 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 down. There was a bit of a reversal or shift in that in this campaign, and Joe Rogan's younger male audience may have shown up. I spoke to and saw many men voting, and many of them were fathers who brought their children with them to vote. One dad walked up with 3 little kids, like ducks, follow men. Here comes the patriarchy. A lot of the men that I saw pull up, I knew immediately were our voters because I would look at them and the vehicles they drove and the way that they walked and looked, and I could tell which ones were taxpayers versus tax consumers. And there were men who were like in their 20s and early 30s showing up in work boots covered in soot and dirt and mud. I spoke to one gentleman that I know as a family friend, and he wasn't covered in dirt, but he told me that, you know, on election day early in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, he had been he'd been doing a job down a manhole. A lot of working class people who are taxpayers, these are tax generating working men and women, showed up. I think that this was a taxpayer producer type vote that showed up and came out. And, you know, we could feel it in the counties of North Carolina. The turnout seemed to be depressed in the larger or towns and cities where Democrats did well. The vote turnout seemed to be elevated in the red countryside, conservative side. And that was a trend that was happening all across North Carolina. And according to the chart that I emailed out today, I don't know if you took a look at it, Jeff, but it's a it's a left-right, blue-red shift, county shift chart that Benny Johnson has been using in his podcast. And it really graphically shows the move to the right that America took. America changed course yesterday, friends, and it turned hard right. If it was a vehicle, you'd be hearing the tires squealing as the car got yanked to the right. They're like, get us the hell away from these people on the left and these trans terrorists.
See, the media here, like the mainstream media, has never been more powerful, and this is a direct, I think, pushback in their face. They didn't pull it off. I think there's an argument to be made that this is a failed rigged election, a fail.
Well, and wait, a term that I'm going to start using for the media we're describing is the legacy media.
That's what legacy. Anybody who's been around for any length of time should be called legacy media. They're not brand new. That's right.
Well, and their future is in doubt. I mean, we have a chance now with this shift. Well, we know that Republicans will control the Senate, and yes, we also know that probably half of the Republican senators ain't worth a damn. All right, but the latest count as of the time of this program. For posterity's sake, is the Senate count is at 52 GOP seats versus, when I had it on screen so that we could talk about, there we go. All right, yep, he carried all of the swing states, and then on the Senate races, here we go, come on. 52 Republican, yeah, right now, 52 Republican, 44 Democrat, with, it looks like, Nevada and Pennsylvania are leaning red, but not in the count yet. I think there's still two Senate seats up. It looks like the Republicans are going to land 52, 53, 54 seats to Democrats, 44, 45 seats somewhere there. Or, you know,
what about the RNC somehow evaluating the performance of these Republicans who are really rhinos? And laying it down to him. You do this one time, and you're no longer in the party. We're going to throw you out.
Well, that's the rhino Republicans are going to be the globalist firewall, unless they've got, like,
Addressed. This can't be allowed to slide on anymore. I hope the RNC can do something. Maybe Laura Trump will do something about it. But
Let me get back to RNC real quick. When it comes to the skullduggery, okay, we were shining a light on it. Trump was shining a light on it. The RNC was shining a light on it. James O'Keefe, he had undercover people in all over hotspots. He released hidden video from, and he had to be careful because different states have different laws about recording election stuff.
That's true.
But he released a video that wasn't that shocking. It wasn't that over the top out of Phoenix, Arizona, to send a signal. He released the video to let them know that his people were there. He was doing things to try to, what's the right word for this, Jeff?
Keep things honest. How's that?
Yeah. You don't have what you need to prove them in a court of law, but you know, and I've often said in politics, if you wait for the smoking gun, it means the bullet's already in your chest. You've anticipated your opponent's move or cheat, and you're trying to use the fact that they're running a great risk of exposure and prosecution if they did it. I mean, that's what we were telling people all last week in the run-up to this election. We're like, we know that you're going to cheat. We know how you're going to cheat. We know where you're going to cheat. And we want you know that we know that you know that we know. If you want to stay out of jail, okay, mm-hmm. If you want to be the schmarmy...
They were being watched. I know. This is important.
So you had O'Keefe and these podcasters running around. Yeah, the RNC, and I made a mistake. I made a spelling error in this guy's name. My big release on election morning, I misspelled this dude's name and had to do I did a corrected copy to the media. Some of our listeners out there helped catch the error. But
hey, stuff happens. Big deal.
Yeah, well, this is pretty cool, though. This is a little science fictionish, but... On election morning, like at 7:30 in the morning, I'm watching Benny Johnson, who's one of our pro-America podcasters that we've been supporting and directing people to. Benny does a story about a data scientist and group of data scientists who...
Yes.
Yeah, Tony.
I know what you mean.
His name's Tony Seruga, spelled S-E-R-U-G-A. Tony Seruga, and he's showing us very, very interesting stuff about the geofencing data of who is attending Kamala Harris rallies versus who is attending Donald Trump rallies. And apparently, a lot of the people who are attending Donald Trump rallies, their cell phones, which they can't identify them as, here's Tim Smith's cell phone, but they can tell that Tim Smith's cell phone, has not been to a Trump campaign rally before. And like Trump's, you know, campaign rally attendees are like 60-70+% first timers. Over at Kamala Harris's event, especially the big one in the Ellipse in D.C., 91% had been to prior Kamala Harris events, including 6-point-something percent were from Georgia and 3-point-something percent were from California. So he was able to like show the composition of these things. And it, I was like, well, hold on a second. This reminds me of the geofencing study done by the Heritage Foundation, or specifically the groups here. Well, first of all, Tony Seruga on his Twitter lists himself as an investor, board member, big data pioneer, Intel ops, CIA, NSA contractor, whistleblower, CRE, philanthropist, healthcare, M&A at Greenlaw. And what he was doing reminded me of a great deal of something in the Alipac archives that was done by the Heritage Oversight Project and Heritage Border Security and Immigration Studies Research, where they tracked cell phone IDs that interacted with migrant processing centers and NGOs engaging in the importation of illegal migrants. They found out the shocking information that 71% of illegal aliens were being sent to Republican congressional districts. The cell phones that they put geofencing, they took their electronic map, bird's eye view of NGO migrant processing centers near the border, drew an electronic circle around it, and then tracked where the cell phones from that area went, and 71% went to congressional districts. And
Well,
the morning of the election, it suddenly occurred to me that it really looked to me like Mr. Seruga had the tools and access to document. Now, we've said that a lot of the non-citizen votes would be cast through the mail because they would not want to, you know, they would increased risk of taking them to the polls. And when they did take some of them to the polls up in Pennsylvania, somebody caught them with a cell phone camera moving them to the front of the line, and it went out on Twitter and caused a big stir. So there's a chance they were trying to move them to the polls. And they got caught, and they're like, hey, everybody lay low. Hold on, back up. James O'Keefe is all over the place. Laura Trump and her attorneys
kind of
are
vigilance,
all over the place.
That massive vigilance made a difference, no question. I also think a lot of people actually got out and voted who may not normally vote. They did get the message that this was to save the Republic, and that's exactly what it was about. So I think did vote that normally may not have voted.
Well, if they were moving non-citizen voters to try to cheat this election, they would have known by election day that they didn't have enough that had voted by mail and that they needed them to vote on election day and election morning. We don't get as much press coverage as we used to and press access as we used to, or, you know, and we're very electronically sandbagged and shadow banned at Alipac. But I know that the opposition reads everything we put out as soon as we put it out. Our press releases and website are monitored by people in universities and intelligence agencies and everything. They're like, what's going on here? And this is something that I put into my comment that went out election morning. And I want to see if you can spot where the strategy is at in this, Jeff. I said, quote, we expect most of the illegal non-citizen and duplicate votes to be cast by mail and for NGO and Democrat Party operatives to ask their illegal migrant and non-citizen voters not to take their electronic devices to voting locations. Yet, Yet, it would be interesting to see what the geofencing data shows today for devices from migrant processing areas, Kamala Harris events, and voting precincts. Now, two things here.
That's good. Go ahead.
All right. One, we're telling them that Segura over here, who's obviously a Trump supporter, may have the keys to fully... And for all we know, Segura's people over there cooking up the numbers right now, looking at it going, hey, we can't wait to release this.
I mean, I expect some kind of a major release from them at some point. I do.
Well, did you read what he said about January 6th and the ghost van, the DOJ ghost vans of people being moved around that were cutting fences, and how whoever, the cell phone that they believe planted the pipe bombs on January 6th outside of the Republican and Democratic headquarters interacted with DOJ federal building access hundreds of times and even tracked back to a certain interesting train station in Northern Virginia, but then they were no longer able to compile that information because for some reason AT&T Corporation scrambled all the data for that phone alone.
But there's some very good work being done trying to break these things down and expose them. That's very impressive.
Well, when I put this out election morning, the reason I put in there, because like I said, the larger strategy is to say, hey, look, there's an electronic way to find these non-citizen voters. If y'all are doing this, it can be detected by Mr. Segura. That was the main thrust of things. But within it, when I said Democratic Party operative, NGO and Democratic Party operatives are probably asking their illegal migrant non-citizen voters to not take their electronic devices to voting locations. Well, what I meant to say, let me translate that, Jeff. They probably didn't tell them not to take their electronic things. And if they hadn't, they either had to stop or it's too late. You know, if they've been transporting non-citizens to voting locations on election day and they're carrying those cell phones that they got from the federal government, oh, wow, they can be detected and quantified. To me, it just seemed like our last best way to try to scare them off from cheating this election, and it's hard to say.
No, I think Well, let's see what Segura says. That'll be interesting.
You know, Political pitchforks and torches, you know. Get back. Get that illegal migrant away from my ballot box.
Yeah. I wonder how many votes they cast, the invaders, altogether. Hard to know. How many of the camel's votes were? 1 million, maybe? Hard to know. 67. She got 67,800,000. Trump got 72,560,000. Of course, Joe Biden in 2020 got 81 million. That was an obscenity. But I think the same basic plan was probably being set up, and they tried to implement it, but it didn't work in terms of rigging and throwing the election. I think too many people were watching. We had what they did before, and there are only so many ways you can really do this, so we knew what to look for.
They send out the money through different channels for these votes that they want to buy.
Yeah.
And we used to call it, back when I was a campaign operative and consultant, call it gutter money. Gutter money. Because you can throw it in the gutter, and sometimes it comes back and pays off, and sometimes you just threw your money in the gutter and it went somewhere else and, you know, you got screwed. You know,
right.
when you're talking about, because the main experience similar to this was the Democratic Party's mass political machine fielding and transportation of black and Hispanic voters in urban areas. And let's say that you're a Democratic campaign. Let's say you're Jeff Rentz is running for governor of Oregon, and you're in a Democratic primary, and you've got to win that primary if you want to be on the general ballot in November, right?
We've already got a communist governor, whatever.
Jeff Rentz for governor. You've got to win the Democratic primary because you decided to run as a Democrat for some reason, just for shits and giggles here.
Lost my mind. All right.
Yeah. And you need votes. And so you're trying to find these votes. And a lot of black Democrats vote in Democratic primaries. And so you're in discussion with different people who are all offering their services. Here's Mike. Mike is a substance abuse rehab counselor who knows all the people in blah, blah, blah township in the precinct you need to win and carry.
That's right.
And Mike tells you that if you get pay for his consulting fees and his vote vans and things like that that he
no
needs.
No problem, Mike. We'll take care of you. Not to worry.
Well, yeah. But see, Mike's also milking three or four other candidates and taking money from everybody. So, you know, or there's a black preacher in Tarboro, North Carolina.
Like, there's so many scammers out there now in all walks of life. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
The Internet has made all this viable. And I want to suggest this. These scammers are using AI to come up with even newer and better ways of scamming. AI is not dumb. So they're using every tool they can.
Well, the people that like to do this type of dirty work like to use different surrogates and minions and create layers on the onion to protect themselves from going to prison. And so they end up using college students and migrant operatives and other people.
That's a question for AI. How do I do this to protect myself?
Well, the thing is, just because you pay the money and you tell people to do certain things doesn't mean they're going to do what they told you they were going to do.
No, they just take the money and tell you to take a hike. Goodbye.
Or do a small fraction of what you thought.
That's why you call it gutter money. It works.
Yeah.
Now I got a question
money.
For you before we get too far down here. We've got about 10 minutes left. Is this a forgive and forget? The country's split in the middle. I've seen both sides argue today. Frankly, it's time we've got to just shake hands and agree that somebody won, somebody lost, and we've got to put this country back together and work together and all the rest of it to save the republic. Other people are saying, hell with that. I'm not going to shake hands with a communist. It's over.
Well, the thing is, though, people on the right should be happy because they won. I mean, we didn't win the governorship in North Carolina, but the people on the right should be satisfied with the outcome of the election. The stock market's obviously happy.
I understand. All right, let's see where you're going.
Now, hold on. And people on the left, the thing about it is, now, not a lot of people in the potentially violent sectors of the leftists really cared about Kamala that much. Now, some Antifa extremists in Seattle
last night
tried to show their butts, and Seattle reacted differently than in past. They followed Antifa down the street, and as soon as they started breaking the law, they bagged and tagged them. Boom, 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 boom. Andy Ngo
printed,
you know, the Seattle police went boom, boom, boom. Well, yeah, because they've got to deal with Donald J. Trump now. And so they're like, oh, he's not in office yet, but he's about to be. We're not going to let Antifa, you know, tear up cities and do this type of stuff.
Right.
Joe Biden is being friendly and offering to come to the inauguration because he likes to stay out of jail, too. A lot of people are suddenly kissing Donald Trump's butt very passionately to stay out of jail.
Here. Check this out. It is said now that the Biden-Harris DOJ is unraveling, and moving to negate the currently existing criminal charges against Trump and the fact that he's been convicted. There's talk about that. Here's what Biden can do if he's really smart. If this isn't done by the time we get to the inauguration, Biden should pardon Trump as a great American statesman that Biden is for the betterment of the republic. Think
there's
about
a
it.
Lot.
There's
a lot of deal cutting, and
You
know, and people trying to save their jobs.
Oh, he
and
wants to try
freedom.
And soften the harsh criticism that's going to be his legacy, and so he pardons Trump for the and urges a you know he appeals to people to get together and bury the axe and talk and let's move forward. That could be a gambit of his. It's just possible. Popped into my head last night.
And the Democrats, the Kamala campaign, because you know, Kamala, the unclassy witch that she is, left her own campaign party without even speaking to her supporters.
She left all of them yakking
and barking and crying all over the place. mostly young female
idealistic
color audience.
Yes.
Left them hanging. Yeah. Without her even speaking to them, without even thanking them, had somebody else say, Kamala's going to say something tomorrow. And
I saw that. I happened to catch that. Yeah.
because Trump won, like we needed him to, decisively. And although he made his victory speech, I think, at like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, okay, it wasn't a next day. Well, some people found out when they woke up the next day, but, I mean, we almost found out on election night. I think
it was 2 in the morning. It was late.
But it was a sweep. He swept the country, and it was clear and decisive.
I think that, again, points to the fact that the camel was oversold to the people as being a viable contender. A few fake polls thrown in here and there. The results don't back it up.
Well, no. Here's something, because I know we're running out of time here.
6 minutes.
Okay. Here's something very important that I think William Gein of Alipac and Jeff Rentz of Rentz.com should be doing, and that all the folks out there that have been so gracious with their time and support to listen to two wild men like us talk for an hour. There's a story, two stories here. On Election Day, I got a text from a couple of counties to our east. Somebody stole a 1996 Chevrolet propane delivery bobtail truck. I don't know if they found it yet or not, but the local sheriff was asking people for help because somebody pretty much stole a large bomb on wheels.
Full of tanks?
A full,
or was it one big tank?
Bobtail, one big 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of propane on it, missing bobtail on Election Day. Okay.
That's not
just
good.
Picked up a story that apparently started on Monday. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but on Highway 40 outside of the North Carolina capital of Raleigh, on the Chapel Hill side of town, they believe six vehicles have been shot by what they think is maybe a handgun and one person injured. Somebody's shooting on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
We need a full spread out monitoring deployment to try to detect if there's some of these people on the left, many of which are criminals, as they are.
It could be false flag, too. Don't forget that.
Well, but some of them, Jeff, I've been watching their meltdowns, and while some of them are liberal tears.
Oh, never seen anything
to be
like
favored.
It. I agree.
But at the same time, I'm watching these young girls cry, and I feel sympathy to them because I cried on election night. 1994, when I was a young, brainwashed college kid, I really thought that the Republican sweep under Newt Gingrich meant that little old ladies and men were going to be rolled out on the streets out of nursing homes. I did. I really believed that that's what the Republicans were going to do. They were going to, and I watched a young girl crying on a TikTok video about how they were going to cancel their Medicaid and Medicare and you know and stuff like this because she's got a head full of lies. Okay, and
How do you deal with that? That's why I asked earlier. What do we do? Do we shake hands and
part of me wishes that I could reach through the video and say, "Young lady, stop crying."
Right.
What you're crying about is not going to happen. Okay.
Well, first of all, most people that cry about things are crying for themselves.
Maybe we can argue that, but at the same time, that these people their entire belief system has been the misinformation of the federal government combined with the legacy media,
and the
college instructors and the public school teachers and the popular culture Taylor Swift, Beyonce, pieces of crap have done this to these children, and we need to find a way to if we're going to save America, if we're going to get America on a better track. 80% before this election, 80% felt that America was in the wrong direction and wanted to go a new direction. Well, if we want to go in a new direction, we have got to figure out what we're going
to
do.
Let me tell you, the only way to do it, William, is to do it through social media. That's what they're addicted to. That's all they're going to listen to. That's it.
Well,
six hours a day on the average. You got to get somehow social media. That's my take. Go ahead.
Well, there was a black gentleman working the precinct I was at for a Democrat candidate, and when I told him that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden had used our tax money to import over 10 million illegals into the country, he didn't believe me. He did not believe me. And I'm
is that uninformed? Where the hell is he been?
Yes. Well, these people are not bad people. They exist in an information bubble. Controlled by the machine.
Brainwashed. Whether it's withheld information or corrupted information, they're brainwashed.
Yes. And and figuring out how to get to them and to free
them from that
invisible electronic prison.
I agree. Break those leg irons off of them. Let them think. Teach them how to think.
We need to figure out, I mean, seriously, like CNN and MSNBC, they need to, like, you know,
within the
American way, within the legal framework of how we do things in this country, the right way, they need to go down. And Drudge Report, what's left of that, somebody needs to put that.
Oh, it's gone complete communist. It was sold seven years ago, something like that.
Whatever happened to it,
they turned it over.
It used to be a place where truth got through, and it was practically a wing of the Democratic Party, MSNBC, CNN, smear stuff. And it broke my heart because Drudge Report has done so many good things for our country and our movement and our fight against illegal immigration and amnesty over the years. It has been essential. One of the main conduits feeding talk radio shows across the country, and it has completely fallen.
Drudge, if he actually was actively involved in the sale, should have put in the sales contract that under no circumstances can the site be turned into a liberal socialist platform. That should have been
They wouldn't have wanted to pay the big bucks for it if they couldn't do that.
I don't know, but I wouldn't have sold. No way. Not without that guarantee.
Well, big thanks to everybody out there that has read the emails.
Well,
read
the thanks
website.
Go to you too, my friend. Don't forget, you really have been pitching, and your people, your volunteers, terrific Americans. And yes, be happy that we did step aside and let the trash go into the dumpster where it belongs. And
I'm very thankful for you, Jeff, and your listeners, and the fact we were able to be involved in this fight.
Well, we did the best we could, and I'm happy, too. You have a good night, William. Talk
good night.
Soon.
See
Thanks.
You. Take care.
Okay. All right. That's alipack.us. And, very good. Happiest I've ever heard him. We'll be right back. Hold on.